We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, A Courageous Warrior, and helps you discover the transformative power of the gospel that leads to eternal life. Now, here's today's program.
The greatest gift that we have to offer anybody is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest gift. The fact that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That God, through his son, was willing to pay for all of our sin. That Jesus not only died, but that he rose from the dead. And anyone who through repentance and faith would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, could have life both now and for all eternity. It takes courage to respond to the gospel because you have to leave the life of sin that you're so accustomed to behind. That's called repentance. That's a turning from your sin. And there's a turning to God, which is faith. And that takes courage to do. It also takes courage to share the gospel. Did you realize that? To call people to a repentant lifestyle, to call people to turn from their sin and turn to Christ is difficult because most people, while they may admit that they've done some wrong, don't realize that they're dead in their trespasses and sins. They don't see themselves as a bad person. They see themselves as an okay person compared to everybody else. And yeah, maybe there's a God out there, but when you're sharing the gospel, you're telling people you're dead and that the wrath of God is on you and that you need to repent from the way in which you're living and you need to turn to the living Christ. And so we understand how challenging as believers it is to come to Christ. We also understand how challenging it is to share that gospel with people who are unrepentant. And today, as we continue our study in the book of Exodus, as we begin in Exodus chapter 8 and start looking at plagues 5 through 9 out of those 10 plagues, we're gonna see Moses confront Pharaoh in his sin and call him to repentance. And I want two things for you to think about today as we're doing this. Just how hard it is to be a courageous warrior of Christ, to call people to a life of faith. And for some of you sitting here, I want you to consider whether you've actually truly repented and trusted Jesus. Because I think it's really easy in church, especially in the American church, if you're a regular attender, to think, well, I'm repentant. I mean, I'm better than most people, but has there ever been a time in your life where you've truly understood that you're dead in your sin and responded to the gospel of Jesus? So I thought even before we get into the message, just to give you a little commercial here on what is repentance, because it's so infrequently talked about in church today, and there's even many Christians who will say, repentance, that's not for salvation. Just trust Jesus. To which I would respond, like the half-brother of Jesus responded, James, even the demons believe that and shudder. Satan believes Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Satan believes Jesus ascended into heaven, and Satan believes that Jesus Christ is coming back. But Satan has never turned and will never turn from his iniquity. He doesn't even have a chance to do so. So just because you say, I believe facts about the Bible, it's not enough to save you. There's a turning from your sin. So let's just talk about what repentance truly is. And then we'll get into the message. We have a lot to cover today. But we need to understand what repentance is. Repentance is turning from sin and turning to God. Repentance is turning from your sin, which results in faith. That's what repentance is. Now, let me tell you 5 truths that accompany genuine repentance. And the first is this. It's understanding that God is my authority. He is right that I am wrong. When we truly understand God is our authority and we read the Bible or we hear someone talk about the authority of Christ and we see the truth of the scriptures, we'll realize God's right, he's perfect, he's holy, and I'm a sinner and I'm wrong. It's true when we come to faith in Christ. It is also true after we have trusted Christ. Repentance is not a one-time thing for the believer. Repentance is ongoing for the rest of your life. Repentance is the belief that even when I come to Christ, although I'm declared righteous and declared holy and given the righteousness of Christ, that in practice, I'm still growing in it. So there's still ways God's going to point things out to me. So repentance is the attitude that God's my authority, he's right, then I'm wrong. Two is this, I welcome discipline because I know I'm wrong and I need to change. Whether it's God's discipline on my life for something I've done wrong, or it's an authority in my life like a parent, or it's church discipline like a pastor, I recognize I'm wrong, the authority's right, and I need to change. So I welcome discipline into my life. When you're truly repentant, number three is this, I don't care about my reputation. I want Christ-like character. People that are genuinely repentant don't care about what other people think or what other people say. They're not concerned about reputation. They're concerned about what's true on the inside of their life. Number four is this. The attitude is, I was wrong and I need to make things right. I'm not half blaming somebody else. Well, yeah, I did that, but you should meet my spouse. Yeah, I did that, but my parent this. I did that, but my coach. Yeah, I did that, but you don't understand how my small group leader. There's no involving anybody else. I did what was wrong. Circumstances don't matter. I was wrong. I need to make it right. That's a heart of repentance. And then finally, you'll see this. I'm transparent and I have nothing to hide. You can know the whole story. You can know the whole truth. It was me. I was wrong. I'm not talking about anybody else. I did wrong and I'm making it right. That's what genuine repentance looks like. It looks like that when we come to Christ. It looks like that after we come to Christ. There's this idea, okay, God's right. I'm wrong. I welcome discipline. I want my character to be right. I'll do anything to make it right. And I don't care who knows. It makes no difference to me. That's repentance. Here's a question for you. When did you repent and turn to Christ? When did you admit, yeah, it's not that I did some wrong things, it's that I am a wrong thing, that my whole life has been built on the wrong things, that Jesus is Lord and I have not been serving him wholeheartedly and I'm wrong about that and I'm turning to Christ and I don't care who knows and I don't care what people say and I'm not worried about my reputation. I want my character with Christ to be right. I don't care who knows about my past. There's nothing to hide. I'm coming clean with everything. That's repentance. That's in the heart of the believer every single time they respond to Christ. Now let's talk about what unrepentance is. If that's repentance, then here's unrepentance. Unrepentance is remaining in your sin, which results in blaming others. It's remaining in your sin and you blame others. So if God is really your authority, showing that he's right and you're wrong, unrepentance looks like this. This authority is too dogmatic. This authority is way too harsh. And this authority handled things wrong. God's handled things wrong, or you'll see it, parents with your kids. My parents are being too harsh. This authority's too harsh. This school teacher's too harsh. You don't understand. I'm not as bad as people are saying that I am. That's what you'll see in unrepentance. Secondly, it'll be marked by this. This discipline is too harsh and I want to modify it. In other words, when you are in a position of authority and you're bringing discipline to someone who is unrepentant, they will inevitably always want to change the discipline. If someone is caught in adultery and they're wrong and the discipline from the church is you need to move out and you need to gain trust back from your spouse for this period of time and get right with God, somebody's unrepentant will always say, nah, that's too harsh. I don't need to move out. I don't need to do that. I don't need to be that. You're making it too hard for me. Somebody's repentance, like, I'll do whatever. I was wrong. I just want to make it right. Third thing you'll notice is this. My reputation's being maligned and I need to save face. People that are unrepentant care more about how they appear to other people than they do about how they appear to God. They're always trying to save face, which leads to number four. Here's what you'll notice about unrepentant people. They will do this. They will gossip and slander others for their advantage. I'm wrong, but I don't want you to know how wrong I am. This authority is way too harsh. So let me tell you what really happened. Let me tell you what's really going on. That pastor this, that coach that politician this, that educator that, and we malign and slander other people when we're unrepentant. Which leads to number five. We will create a new narrative that falsely makes me look good.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, A Courageous Warrior, helping you discover the transformative power of the gospel that leads to eternal life. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
You don't know the real story. Let me tell you what really happened. That's unrepentance. True repentance is this. You can bring anybody here, they'll tell you the same story I'm going to tell you. I'm not changing it. I'm not modifying it. I was wrong. They're right in what they're bringing. I'm just getting right. Do you see the difference? I want you to understand this difference because there are so many people that fill chairs and pews in churches month after month and week after week that are living an unrepentant lifestyle thinking that they're repentant. That God is pressing on them, showing them, I'm holy and you're not, and you need to change every part about yourself. And we're like, no, I'm not changing every part. I'm just gonna believe you died and rose for me. That's enough. And don't ask me to do anything more than that. And if people start pushing me to do that, I'm changing churches. I'm gonna go somewhere else. Don't tell me that my lifestyle is wrong. You can't speak about my marriage. You can't speak about my money. You can't speak about that. Who do you think you are? I think I'm God's representative to tell you what God says. Right? So think about your own heart, and then think about your heart if you are truly repentant as you share the gospel with others when you know somebody's repentant. I can tell you as a pastor for the last 12 years, as we've sat down with people and encouraged them or coached them and brought discipline to them, which is rare, but when it happens at such a level that we're telling somebody, you can't keep living this lifestyle. This is so habitual. You're hurting yourself and all those around you. Inevitably, when someone's repentant, here's what they'll do. I'll do whatever you say, pastor. It doesn't matter. I just want to get right. How do I get right with the Lord? That's all they'll say. When they're unrepentant, they'll go through all five stages of what I just showed you. They will say stuff like this. It's not as bad as you're making it sound. And oh, by the way, you should meet my spouse. And oh, by the way, oh, by the way, and oh, by the way. And then they start to go into face-saving mode where they start calling all their friends and talking bad about us. And then they create a new narrative as they leave the church as to what actually really happened. Happens all the time. I've watched it over and over and over again. The question I'm talking about today is, do you truly realize what repentance is? God is attracted to repentance because repentance takes humility. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 6 that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It takes humility to recognize that I'm the one here that's the problem. I'm the one here that needs to change. And if we would realize that more frequently and realize that it's impossible to change other people, but you know what? With God's help, he can change me if I'm willing to let him. That all change, true lasting change that happens in the world happens when we individually and collectively tell God, we're wrong, you're right. What do we need to change to align our lives with you? That's when change really happens. If you're married, you can't change your spouse. That's free of charge. I just saved you thousands of dollars, right? But you can allow God to change you. Kids, you can't change your parents, but you can allow God to change you. Parents, you can't change your kids, but you can allow God to change you. Employees, you can't change your employer, but you can allow God to change you. Employers, you can't change your employees, but you can allow God to change you. I mean, where is it that God's calling you to a place of repentance? Because even if you are a genuine born-again believer and you say, yeah, I repented. Last time, I think it was like 8 years ago, there was something going on. Then you're not walking in the holiness of God. Because if God saved you, keep in mind, salvation is not salvation so he can indwell you with his spirit just to get you to heaven someday. Salvation is because you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works with God prepared beforehand so that you'd walk in them. In other words, God didn't save you to sit around and say, I'm saved. God saved you to be a courageous warrior that's on the advancement of the kingdom to let other people know that they need to repent too. That's why you're still alive. That's the gospel, to go into all the world. It's an international ministry that God made us a part of. And you need to know that as an introduction to today's message. Otherwise, as we get into these plagues, you're going to say, here we go again. What's taking Pharaoh so long? Why drag out all these long, boring chapters with 10 plagues? Why didn't Pharaoh repent? For the same reason that you don't either. Because you don't think you're wrong. You don't realize how holy God is. Your heart's not tender enough before him to allow him to change you. And so what we're seeing in Pharaoh is what sometimes we see in our own hearts. And what we're seeing in Moses is what we need to be aware of as we continually confront and the challenges of confronting people to repent. You say, where do you get this repentance stuff? I'll repeat what I said last week. John the Baptist's first sermon was what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then a chapter later, we see Jesus' first sermon. What does he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then after Jesus rises from the dead and Peter's preaching, what does he preach? Repent and be baptized and you will receive the Holy Spirit. What does Paul preach in Acts chapter 17 or 20, 17 verse 20, I think. I now command all men everywhere to repent. There's this understanding you need to repent. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. That's what Romans 2 and verse 4 says. Now listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 says this. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Okay, when there's genuinely godly sorrow, it's his kindness and his gift to you to bring you to repentance. Repentance leads to what? Salvation, according to the word of God. Ongoing, progressive, in your heart, with the Lord. That's what it produces. But worldly sorrow, man, I'm sorry I got caught. I wish God didn't see this. I wish my friends didn't see this. I got to save face about this. My marriage isn't perfect. My kids aren't perfect. My life's not perfect. I can't let anybody see that. Well, we all see it anyway. But I can't let it because my reputation's too important. That leads to what? Death. The tragedy in the church today is that there are many church attenders in churches attending all throughout the world that believe that they're Christians that will end up in hell because they've never turned from their sin and turned to Christ. They think just being a Christian is just, well, I'm a pretty good person and I go to church and I guess I believe Jesus died and rose. The devil believes Jesus died and rose. What difference has the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ made in your life? That's the question. This is just the introduction. We haven't even started. We're going through two chapters today. So that's opening. But let's talk about why it takes courage to be a warrior for Christ. Why it takes courage to live this life, respond to the gospel, and call other people to it. I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 8. We're going to try to make it through 8 and 9 today as we work through 5 more plagues. And the first is this. One of the challenges of being a courageous warrior is that a courageous warrior warns the unrepentant repeatedly. They warn the unrepentant repeatedly. Now, there's already been several plagues that have taken place. You'll remember last week, we talked about the Nile becoming blood and the frogs all over the land and gnats or lice, and then the flies that are everywhere. And you would think, even though Pharaoh's not repenting, like maybe he would just get this right. And God's given him enough signs already. I'm done with this guy. And yet that's not the heart of the Lord, nor the heart of Moses. Because I'm in chapter 9. Notice chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to be 9 and 10, not 8 and 9. I'm sorry. 9 and 10. It says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Have we not heard this before? We're repeating it over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because God is patient with all people, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I mean, if I were Moses, I would be thinking, I've already been telling him this. He's got plagues all over the land and he's still not responding. God, he's a lost cause. Let him go. Mm-mm. God's like, no, I'm going to continue to do this. I'm going to make my power known. He tells him to let his people go, for if he refused to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field. Take note of that, which are in the field. We'll talk about that in a second. On the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, on the flocks, But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. The Lord set a definite time saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day and all the livestock of Egypt died, but the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one livestock of Israel dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened and he did not let the people go. This is exhausting, isn't it? I mean, how long does Moses have to go back and do the same thing over and over when nobody's listening? I mean, Noah preached for 120 years and the only people that got saved were his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. That was it. 120 years of preaching, 8 people saved. How long? Jeremiah complains all throughout the book of Jeremiah how painful it is that every time he opens his mouth, he's just telling people terror and violence are coming. But if I hold it in, I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I don't want to speak for you, Lord, but I can't help speak for you. If you truly know the gospel and you truly love people the way God loves people, you can't help but tell them about the realities of heaven and hell. If you don't, you don't love them. Can you imagine if you were on your way to hell and nobody told you? Because they were fearful you might get mad at them. They were fearful you might talk bad about them. They were fearful you might break relationship with them. If you love them, you would be on a rescue mission for them. You warn people repeatedly over and over. Parents, do you not do this with your kids? Do you just tell your kids once and if they don't get it, like, well, they're not gonna grow up very well? Or do you warn them and tell them, hey, if this continues, here's some of the consequences and here's what's gonna happen, not only in our family, but if you continue to age and grow, this is what's gonna happen in your life. Am I the only parent that does this? Right. I mean, isn't that true? When we love people, we care about them, we're kind of painting a picture for their future. That's what Moses is doing. God is doing through Moses to Pharaoh. I mean, Jeremiah was exhausted. John the Baptist was exhausted. Every time he opened his mouth, he kept telling King Herod, you're living in adultery. You're doing it wrong. God's going to punish you. You're going to end up in hell. Don't do this. Cost him his life. It doesn't mean that we don't pray for the lost. It means we pray and we never give up. So why warn people? Do you remember we went through the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 31? Because it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You warn people repeatedly. Moses is warning Pharaoh again. This is time number 5. Now we got all the livestock in the field that are gonna die. Now, this is why it's important that you study your Bibles and you see in verse 3, all the livestock which are in the field. So we got horses, donkeys, camels, etc. in the field, all of them died. Not all of them died, because you're gonna see some of these animals show up later, but the ones that were in the field, all are dead. And God made a distinction between Egypt and Israel. So Pharaoh's like, is that really true? Because maybe there was just like anthrax or some sort of deadly disease that was spreading throughout all the livestock. So he goes to Goshen to see, and not one livestock in Israel is dead, but every single one in Egypt is dead. Now, can you imagine what was going on in Egypt right now if you were just a run-of-the-mill Egyptian? I mean, you've had lice and gnats, you've had dead frogs all over the place, you got dead flies all over the place, you got the Nile turning to blood, and now all the livestock in the field croak and are rotting. I mean, if I'm an Egyptian, I'm thinking, I'm going to the border, I'm out of here. This is not good. And yet, what does Pharaoh do? He hardens his heart. The heart you present to the Lord is what God will do with your heart. If you present a hard heart to the Lord, it will only get harder. If you present a tender heart to the Lord saying, what do I do? God is the one who can make it softer. Make no mistake about it. People that end up in hell by their own volition and their own choice. They want to go there. They've hardened their heart. Romans 1:20 says they will be without excuse. And what do the unrepentant do? They blame others. They'll blame God. They'll gnash their teeth at him for all eternity, saying, God did this to me. I never chose to be born. When all God wanted to do was be in a loving relationship with him and draw him to himself, and they rejected it.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, A Courageous Warrior, helping you discover the transformative power of the gospel that leads to eternal life. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to BravePastorJeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit BraveChurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.